All right, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our executive committee meeting. So we will call the meeting to order at, or we do quorum first and then?
Yeah, I can provide some information on logistics, and then we can move to roll call. Okay, so we're grateful to Delray Yacht Club for hosting us today and have audiovisual support from our AGP staff. If you're new here, restrooms are down the hall to the left. If you need Wi-Fi, the network is DRYC Clubhouse, and the password is capital P Palawan 1108. It's also written on a card at the table if you need to refer to that. This is a hybrid meeting, so we have members in the public participating both remotely and in person. For members in the public participating remotely, if you need tech support using Zoom, please email it@agpvideo.com. In order to provide public comment today, you must be in the room or on Zoom. If you're in the room, please fill out a speaker card and hand it to myself or Luke. And if you're participating via Zoom, you can raise your hand virtually when we reach the item you'd like to speak under. If you're calling in over the phone, dial *9 to raise your hand and *6 to unmute yourself. This meeting is being recorded and live streamed, so we ask that you please speak clearly. And for those in person, please remember to turn on your microphones when you speak and turn them off when you've finished. And that'll conclude the logistics. I recommend we move to roll call.
Okay, Caitlin, can you do roll call?
Yes. I will call members in alphabetical order by last name. Tom Ford.
Tom Ford, present.
Annalisa Moe.
Here.
Karen Mogus.
Here.
Michael Quill.
Present.
Martha Tremblay.
Present.
Laurel Waudrip.
Present.
And Erica Yelinski.
Here. Thank you.
Okay, that'll conclude roll call. I recommend we move to item one on the agenda.
Okay, and item one is comments from members of the public on items not on the agenda. Do we have any?
Yes, we received two requests to comment in advance, one from Walter Lamb joining us remotely and one from Mitchell Lockman joining us in person.
Okay, let's go ahead.
Okay, so I will unmute you, Walter, and you have the floor for 4 minutes.
Thank you, Caitlin. Walter Lamb, represented by Wetlands Land Trust, appreciate the opportunity to comment. At the governing board meeting last month, there were three speakers at the beginning of the meeting that discussed the removal of language pertaining to climate change and environmental justice, disadvantaged communities and whatnot, from the draft fiscal year 2026 work plan. There was no follow-up comment in response to that. At a meeting a few days later at a community workshop, the NEP director did make brief comments that those changes were in response to executive orders from the Trump administration. However, I don't believe there's been any communication to governing board members, and I'm hoping that there will be today. And so at this point, the Land Trust is wanting to make sure that we're commenting at every opportunity. We want to create that record that we are trying to work within the system and hopefully influence the language being returned to the work plan. My concern, having operated in this environment for over 10 years now, is that when there's a decision like this that is an uncomfortable decision, there's very little discussion, and there's just this big vote on the entire work plan and not really any kind of deliberation or analysis. And I just want to say that, we need to understand that with the change in the administration, there's a change in EPA policy. So EPA is no longer the partner that wants to help fight climate change. The administrator is on record saying that he wants to drive a dagger straight into the heart of what he calls climate change religion. And he said, expressed equal desire for an assault on diversity equity, you know, those sorts of things. And so we just need to understand that that's the EPA today is not the EPA from 2 months ago. And there's actually a representative of EPA on the phone. And I think if you ask her, she's going to say the same thing, right? That there's a new EPA policy and that her job, along with the job of everyone else in EPA now, is to further that. I just received an email the other day from somebody at EPA headquarters saying that they're going to issue guidance to help NEPs ensure that their CCMPs are aligned with the priorities of Administrator Lee Zeldin. The problem is that the NEP, the National Estuary Program, is not a program that's governed by the EPA administrator. And I think everyone in this meeting knows that, but I think people are avoiding tough decisions and gravitating towards decisions that are easier for them as individuals. Not easier for all the people in Los Angeles who are going to suffer from climate change. Not easier for all the people from disadvantaged communities who at the first sign that funding might be in danger get thrown under the bus. It's really just, again, the club. And so I just want to note that we do plan to challenge this. You went through a multi-year process to come up with your priorities. Climate action and environmental justice were determined to be high priorities. You have not gone through any similar process, even remotely, to chuck those things, you know, overboard. And so we think that you are going to be actually in violation of the Clean Water Act. And as of today, we still do have, you know, judges that are making independent decisions. I'm not sure how long that will last. But that's all my time for today. Thank you.
Thank you, Walter.
Before we move to the next speaker, I just wanted to note that Tracy Lovrick, representing Resource Conservation of District of Santa Monica Mountains, excuse me, has joined us. So Mitchell Lockman, you have the floor for 4 minutes. Your timer will show on the screen. When you're ready to speak, please just remember to turn on the microphone.
Okay, hi. I went to a meeting the other day. Senator Ben Allen was there, and he brought up the Santa Monica, the fires in the Santa Monica Mountains, that they're so, they happen so often that he questioned, basically he endorsed not rebuilding in the Santa Monica Malibu Mountains. And that, and my suggestion is do the same with the ocean side of the Coast Highway. It's given the prevalence of the ocean increasing in size, and also the Coastal Commission, when they originated, they had a rule, as I recall, if you lose it, you don't rebuild. And these two venues, the Coast Highway housing and the Malibu Mountains, given the need for recreation and the view sites and the loss of these housing that will come in the future, this land should revert to the public. The somewhat of the history of the Malibu Mountains was, as you may know, the Adamson Estate, the Malibu Marblehead Land Company, which was part of the Adamson Estate. They owned it and they sold it, and that's how the housing got there. So I emphasize, you know, Ben Allen was into this. He's questioning whether we should rebuild, given the disasters. Now, I saved an article from the New York Times, and they show since the turn of the century, not this the 19th century, that I can't tell you how many times they have a record of the burning of the Malibu Mountains in my lifetime, going back to around 60, Trancas fire, around 66, and Mandeville Canyon in 60, 61. I don't have enough fingers on my hands to the amount of fires in these Malibu mountains. So I encourage this organization to look into this and endorse these Malibu Santa Monica mountains going back to and the Coast Highway areas of the housing go back to the public, because our insurances, their insurances, we have to absorb their costs for homeowners insurances. It just doesn't look good for now or in the future. I have a little bit of time, but I think I made my point, and I appreciate your listening to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Mitchell.
That concludes all the public comment requests we have.
Okay. Thank you, Caitlin. So next item, the order of the agenda. Are there any changes proposed by staff or anyone? Okay. All right. So next item, reports from the administrative director, Luke.
Thank you, Chair, and good afternoon, everyone. The executive committee last met on January 16th. During that meeting, executive committee members decided to bring the Biona Wetlands Resolution, authored by Dean Francois, to the governing board in February, and that resolution was subsequently adopted. Also during the last meeting, the executive committee discussed a timeline for updates to the Comprehensive Conservation and Management Plan, or CCMP. It was recommended that the CCMP update discussions should be a standing item on executive committee agendas until the update is complete. So later on today, we will continue those discussions. Since the last meeting, commission staff have worked with the Bay Foundation on the Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program's 2026 work plan, fiscal year 2026 work plan, and staff hosted a public workshop to gather input on that work plan. We will also discuss that item later in this agenda. Staff have been hard at work over the last few months administering the Prop 50 grants. While progress is being made on all projects, we have some grantees requesting time extensions. So staff have been working with these grantees to identify timelines that will result in successful completion. And we have one of those projects that was impacted by the Palisades fire. So we have to look at the timeline for that one as well. So the Southern California Coastal Water Research Projects grant assessing small wetlands around Santa Monica Bay will be the first project, the first Prop 50 project completed. So we will look forward to having a report from them later this year. And staff have been working with that grantee and the technical advisory committee on a template for that report. And speaking of the technical advisory committee, the next meeting for them is for that committee is on April 28th, and the venue for that will be determined. Staff are currently working with the chair to get the TAC chair to get an agenda for that meeting. So we will keep you informed on the details as we get closer to the meeting date. That concludes my updates.
All right. Thank you, Luke. Does anyone have any questions for Luke? All right, good. Moving forward, the next item is consideration of approval of the January 16 meeting minutes. Are there any revisions or are you ready to, someone ready to make a motion to approve those minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve as is.
All right, thank you, Annalisa. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Caitlin, roll call vote.
Yes, thank you, Chair. So that was a motion by Annalisa and a second by Michael Quill. I'll call voting members in order by last name. Excuse me. Okay, Tracy Laverick. Oh, that Mike isn't.
Yes.
Thank you. Apologies for that. Annalisa Moe?
Yes.
Karen Mogis?
Yes.
Michael Quill?
Yes.
Martha Tremblay?
I technically wasn't here, so I can abstain, or if you need me for a vote, I'll say yes.
An abstention is okay. We'll just count the yes votes. Okay, the January 16 minutes are approved. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Caitlin. Next item is establishing the next item is establishing the April 17 governing board meeting agenda. Luke.
Thank you, Chair. I would just, before we begin on that, like to mention that Jacob Berman has joined the meeting in person. And the first item we are proposing for the governing board in April is consideration of approval of the fiscal year 2026 work plan. Give me a moment to share my screen. And I will begin my presentation. There we go. So each year, the commission collaborates with the Bay Foundation to develop the Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program's annual work plan, which identifies planned tasks and activities to further implement the Comprehensive Conservation and Management Plan for the upcoming fiscal year. The governing board did not have time at its February meeting to discuss the draft of the work plan, so the executive committee has now been tasked with having the first look at this document. I know we have some folks who are newer to the executive committee, so please, if you have questions, this would be a good time to ask them as I go over the background of what this work plan is. So specifically, this work plan details the amount of NEP funding going to different actions contained in the CCMP each year. So those are funds delegated under Clean Water Act Section 320. And each year, that allotment is usually $800,000 to $900,000. That has historically been the range. And these funds don't go towards all 44 actions contained in our CCMP. It goes towards a subset. And the US EPA requires this work plan to be voted on by the governing board. It is a key activity of this commission to do so. So the work plan must be submitted to the US EPA by June 1. So before moving on, I'll pause there for any questions, if anybody has any. No questions on background, so I will continue. We will come back to this discussion on the draft, but just briefly, I wanted to provide some background on the draft work plan and give you an overview of the comments and the public engagement that we have conducted regarding the work plan draft. So this draft was provided for the February governing board meeting, as I mentioned earlier. It was provided online. We hoped to have a discussion of it in February, but we were unable to. We had a public comment period for the draft, so folks could write in comments between February 21 and March 7th. And staff, along with the Bay Foundation, hosted a community members workshop, which was on February 26th, where we gathered additional public comments on this draft work plan. So I will briefly go over some of the themes and some of the details of these comments. So in total, we received 15 written comments through email. And at our workshop on February 26th, we had 20 participants, and they provided us feedback through breakout rooms and an open public comment period. So these breakout rooms were We split the attendees up into rooms on Zoom. This was an all virtual meeting. And we had a moderator lead a discussion with a subset of attendees. So we gathered feedback in those breakout rooms, which was a chance for some discussion. Generally, our participants really liked that portion of the meeting. And then we also had a public comment period during that meeting where participants could address the entire group of attendees. Now, briefly, I'll go through some of the themes of the comments we received, both in writing and at the workshop. So generally, we received support for actions related to climate change and diversity, equity, and inclusion. A lot of folks were in support of increased public education and engagement by this commission and its members. There was a lot of support for engagement with tribes, which is something we've been, which is a piece of feedback we've been getting for a few years now. To continue with themes in the comments, we have received a lot of support for runoff capture and reuse. A lot of folks concerned about water sustainability in Southern California. There was a lot of support for increased monitoring for water quality, both out in the ocean as well as drinking water, and a lot of support for monitoring for harmful algal blooms. And a lot of people were concerned about the water quality after the fires, the LA wildfires. And a lot of folks were in support for mitigation measures against wildfire. I'll pause there if anybody has a follow-up question on themes and comments before I move on. Okay. I will also provide this information to the governing board next month as well. With regard to consideration of these comments, staff will work with the Bay Foundation to address any comments relevant for the work plan. I will present these comments to the governing board, as I just mentioned, and we will also provide comments to the relevant member agencies and organizations. So if we received a comment that was more relevant for LA Sanitation than the Bay Foundation, we let LA Sanitation know. That's just an example. So now I would like to get back to discussion of the draft work plan, and I would like to begin a discussion on some of the language in that work plan. So board members or executive committee members should have received a draft of the work plan through email, as well as we also posted it online. So now I'd like to walk through some of that language and figure out if there are any changes that need to be made. So before we do that, I thought I'd give Tom or Erica an opportunity to provide a little bit more background information on the language in this draft work plan. Erica, would you like to go first?
Sure. Can you all hear me okay? And I can't see, I can see Luke. So just if one of you can, is my volume fine?
Yes.
Okay, thank you for responding. So just first, I want to give a very big thanks to Tom Ford, our NEP director, and Heather Burdick with the Bay Foundation, and Caitlin and Luke for kind of dealing with you know, a lot of challenges over the past couple of months. Kind of the ground has been moving beneath us, and we meet at least weekly, and we have been for the past several years. So I just want to acknowledge that we are working in a challenging time for a variety of reasons. And just kind of zooming into the work plan. So we are, our governing language, our statutory language, it's Section 320 of the Clean Water Act, and was added to the Clean Water Act in 1987 when it was reauthorized. So the, you know, that language is amended and reauthorized every certain number of years, and it was last amended in 2021 when this Protect and Restore America's Estuaries Act language was added. And I share this slide kind of copied verbatim with the link. So you can go back and it's under section B4B and C. So I think this is helpful when we're thinking about the work plan and the CCMP to think about kind of what is our language. And of course, every NEP, right, it's driven by local priorities, but has to meet the statutory authority. So here, I'll just read it. I can't tell what screens maybe you all have your laptops up, but just I'll read it so we're all on the same page. So B, that or CCMP and work plans address the effects of reoccurring extreme weather events on the estuary, including identification and assessment of vulnerabilities in the estuary and development and implementation of adaptation strategies, that we increase public education and awareness of the ecological health and water quality conditions of the estuary. And these are just, you know, sections, but I wanted to call these out because I think these are just helpful, you know, language for us to pull from. And, you know, we have our statutory authority. We also have to align with new executive orders and agency priorities. And we are trying to find our way through this. And I think a lot of good work will happen. I just want to thank everyone for kind of bearing with us as we make our way. I will end. I think that's what I wanted to just preface with. I will take questions if I can answer them. You know, happy, maybe I can't answer them at this time, but happy to do that. But I wanted to share this as kind of a grounding, and I will pause there. And you can stop sharing. And this, you can take a screenshot, and the link to that text is at the bottom of the slide. Thank you.
Can I ask one quick follow-up, Erica?
Go ahead.
Do you recommend that the language you just shared on the screen, do you recommend that get inserted verbatim into the work plan?
Yeah, with a little bit more. I think that is, seems to be helpful. Yeah, so I will email that to you to include.
Thank you.
Yeah. I have a few other things I could, I wanted to add to your presentation, Luke, if that's okay. I can't tell if there's any other questions. Because everybody, maybe we could stop sharing the slide. Okay. It doesn't look like it. Sorry, it's very awkward being the one on Zoom and seeing just portions of everyone in the room. So bear with me. So just the federal budget update, right? We had a continuing resolution until March 14th. Then Congress passed another one until the end of the federal fiscal year, September 30th. So it looks like the number stayed even for the National Estuary Program or the same. We haven't gotten our final numbers, but last year it was 850,000. So we think it'll be about the same. So that's, I think, what you're planning for. And in terms of EPA reviewing the work plan, so I start reviewing the work plan, just so you know, I don't pick it up June 1st. I pick it up when you send it out along with everyone else. So I'm trying to review along the way and, you know, listen to comments as well. And so what will happen June 1st is when the Bay Foundation sends us the whole application package. So that's all the federal forms, and they, like all grantees have to send those in through grants.gov, and then that triggers things on our end to start processing the award. So I want to work closely with you so you have a fundable work plan. And then just in addition, so the work plan also includes, it's a one-to-one match. So if you're funding, if the EPA grant is $850,000, then grantees also have to provide $850,000. So that can be from staff in kind, local and state grants, just not federal grants. Thank you.
Thanks, Erica. Staff wanted to share Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Tom.
Not at all, Luke. Appreciate it. Eric, I was just going to ask you a question, I think, because we're just trying to dress this out a little more fully. Certainly the match for one-to-one using non-federal sources of funding. But I wanted to let everybody know, and Eric, if you'd like to characterize this differently or correct me, please feel free to do so. We also recognize all those other federal contributions that come in to support the program, just like all those other efforts undertaken by the many folks that sit around this table month in, month out. And a lot of those are represented as leverage. So we recognize that there's a tremendous amount of work that goes on with this national estuary program, and it's well beyond even the work that is performed by sort of the inner circle of folks from the commission and from the Bay Foundation. And I just wanted to let everyone know that their efforts are recognized, appreciated, not just locally, but also that information is transferred onto the federal government and to the legislature, so they see that the merits and the values of what's happening in this region. Part of the benefit of, being around the table for a long time and working with the other NEPs as I have, and it may not always be apparent to us, but the efforts in Los Angeles County to care for our communities, to improve public health, to invest in water availability, water sustainability. Admittedly, we still have many challenges. I don't think anybody's saying, hey, we've got the job done. I'm not sure the job ever gets done. But we lead the nation in many, many ways in our efforts here. And I think in light of the many challenges that we face here in early 2025, I'm reminded of that every day. And I'm reminded of what not just folks in positions of public service, but what the general public has done over the past years to say, please tax my property. I want to be able to live here. I want this to be a sustainable place. I want this to be a healthy place for my family. And I'm just very appreciative of all that.
Thanks, Tom. So staff would now like to take some time now to get some guidance from the executive committee on the draft. Caitlin, can you share, starting with the introduction? We have 8 sections of this work plan that we could use some guidance on from you all. So we will scroll through the document. We have the sections highlighted. And again, this was the draft sent out prior to this meeting. The draft that was sent out in February was a little different. So in that draft, there were some strike-throughs through language. In this one, we have replaced those strike-throughs with highlights. And we will go through those highlighted sections one by one. So beginning with the introduction, we just heard from Erica Yalensky about the need to reference the Clean Water Act, Section 320, as well as the PREA Act. So I recommend we add that language in the introduction. Any thoughts on that?
Just
Tom.
Yeah, quick question. So we'll walk through the document. We've got some various recommendations. Are we looking for like support, approval, thumbs up? Is this a step by step? I'm just curious how we want to approach it.
Well, we will be voting on the agenda for the governing board meeting. For something like this, I mean, if there is a disagreement, we will need to figure out some way to move forward, but there won't be a vote.
Yeah, I think our idea here is that we all look at this language and basically propose what's presented to the governing board. And in terms of if we come to an agreement or not, maybe it can be options in terms of what the governing board can consider, because at the end of the day, they will need to vote on approving the work plan. And so let's see if we can come to an agreement as a committee. That'd be great. And then we can let them know that we agreed as a committee. And Luke, if the governing board members at the board meeting have comments, questions, we can still incorporate them in the work plan, right?
Correct. Okay. Correct. There will be time to make make edits during the meeting.
Thank you, Martha.
Thanks. Yeah, and we could build in a break at that meeting to make sure staff have time to address those comments. So we have scrolled down to action 24, which you should be able to see on your screens. There we go. The text and highlight is referring to climate change. So we have reason to believe that if this phrase is included in the work plan, the work plan will be rejected by the US EPA. So I wanted to have you all look at this and see if there is alternative phrasing we could have, or if removal of this phrase does not impact the intent or substance of the action itself. So I'll give you all a minute to look at it. Curious to know your thoughts.
So Luke, just to be clear, your proposal would be to just strike climate change, so it would read inclusion of coastal adaptation measures?
Correct. I believe referring to coastal adaptation implies that you are referring to climate change.
So, Luke, I guess that is one of the proposals that we can consider. You know, here we're looking at you all for your input in terms of maybe if we try, you know, we're trying to do a lot of things, right? But maybe if we can consider what is the intent of the action in the work plan, what is the wording? Are we using accurate wording to reflect what we believe is important for that action? And then from there, yeah, one of the proposals, if we understand there's a concern with using climate change, one of the options could be striking it out and replacing it with something that is still, that still represents what the intent of this action is. Another option could be we leave it as is. Right? I mean, technically that is an option, but that's where, you know, it'll be important that we all understand that this work plan, what it means to the NEP, you know, what happens if we don't have an approved work plan, or if we have a work plan that has wording that could be problematic. So one of the options is you strike it out. Another option could be, is there another wording that we can identify that still fulfills the intent of the action that we stand behind? So is there any, Luke proposed striking it out. Do you all have any other option?
Martha, I just want to say, I'm not sure that I heard Luke say, I think we should strike it out.
No, I'm sorry.
but I do appreciate your lead on what you're asking of this body to deliberate and discuss today.
I'll chime in here. I would vote for alternate languaging of some kind.
Get the mic in there.
I would appreciate the keeping some kind of indication of what we're referring to and changing the language, and I would defer to some of my scientific experts to maybe come up with a phrase that would be acceptable by different parties without losing. I really don't think we... I would appreciate something being there, not it just being struck.
We have received guidance from the EPA that getting specific on issues related to climate change is encouraged. So that is an option.
Thanks, Luke. I'm reflecting, and I'm going to speak to it, but I probably won't get the language right. It was from the slide that Erica shared. But if it's, we're looking at recurring extreme weather events, and perhaps in the introduction, we could include language as to what we feel recurrent extreme weather events are here that affect this estuary that this program is trying to work towards, and we can line those out. As sea level rise, increased drought, increased storminess, things like that. I think that that goes to the specificity and underscores the intent of, hey, this is how it's being defined, and these are the things that we're pointing at when we use these terms. And I think that that might provide the clarity that we all may desire. I think it would certainly be a lot clearer to folks who don't spend as much time on this as we do to say, hey, I see what they're working on. They said it right there. So I would, that idea appeals to me.
You know, that is even more specific than I was thinking. So if we can get that specific, I would go that route to be very clear. I was going to be more general than that and associate it to the blue economy in some way, just to play that out. But I think being more specific and still getting things passed and getting it approved would be beneficial to everyone.
Can I chime in? Specificity, adaptation, vulnerabilities, like those are all going right back to the Section 320 of the Clean Water Act. Sorry, I don't have like a cheat sheet for each of you, but I think that that's a good direction. And I like what you say about, sorry, I just cut someone off. I'm sorry. Just be like having that within the intro and defining it for your geography. Thank you.
I just wanted to comment on beginning with the premise of the overarching premise of what is the likelihood that this work plan would be rejected if this language is in. There's been a fair amount of unpredictability, and also the likelihood that if we do substitute out language for language that stands in its place and still carries the same principles, and you know, we know that when we put this plan together, that nothing has substantially changed underlying. What would be the likelihood that simply altering the language would allow the plan to not be rejected, if that makes sense.
Just a question for the group as well. So if we are getting more specific in the actual work plan for this language, outlining, you know, different factors we're trying to mitigate against, do we run a risk of not including something, and then does that impact the work itself at all, or does that open us up to then maybe having to make a change later if we didn't include things like, you know, acidification or something like that? That, you know, just there's so many different factors at play here.
Yeah, so I would suggest that we outline, you know, some of the major ones that we have been addressing as this group: sea level rise, ocean acidification, wildfires, and extreme weather events, which covers a lot of, you know, different variables. But I do think that it would be important to have that as examples, not an exhaustive list, because there isn't an exhaustive list that covers all of climate change.
Yeah, I was thinking the same way Jacob was thinking. By being broader, being more inclusive, because I don't want things to get checked off the list because we didn't mention them. So I'll defer to you all on that. But I did have that hesitation that by not listing it would not be included. So being broader could be better, but I may be wrong on that.
Go ahead.
It's fun having a nice flow of a conversation when everybody has to press the microphone on and off. My sense in that regard, I fully agree with that. And I might also add that, you know, right now we're having this conversation regarding recurring extreme weather events, but those other longstanding priorities that conform with the Clean Water Act that match other policies that we all have. So I think it's, you know, it's the nutrient reduction, it's the plastic pollution, it's all these other ones. And I think, again, we want to hit on that really clearly and strongly up front for folks that when they look at this, like, I've never heard of them before. Somebody was talking about it at the coffee shop. They still told me to take a look. They can figure out in the first page what our priorities are.
And I definitely appreciate that and wanted to just to make clear that these were going to be examples, not, you know, determinative. So thank you.
Okay, now I'm going to backtrack on that. Because communicating to the general public and our communities and those that might be not as well informed, listing that, but have it not being specific to those as examples of. So I really appreciate that effort to broaden up the community education and awareness. So I'm going to backtrack on my broad statement. Keep it broad, but specific. How about that?
So one thing that I do want to suggest is that we look at what the action is.
Yeah.
I do think sometimes climate change is put in as a catch-all. And that's where, you know, it's like being mindful. I think there is opportunity to kind of clean up the language a little bit. But in terms of Tracy's question, I think, you know, we do the best that we can. The reality is we don't really know if we adjust the language, if it's still not approved. But I think that's where, at the end of the day, I would think, I mean, I can tell you as an individual board member, I'm going to look at this and try to make the decision that I think is in the best interest of the commission, yeah, financially, but also still staying true to what our intent is here. But I do think these actions, some of them are very specific. So let's take an opportunity here to look at the language. And I personally think this action item, we can make some modification of the language and it doesn't change it. And sometimes it is helpful to be more specific. And this document does get updated periodically. So if there's something that we need to update, we can always do that. And Luke had several examples in terms of, I mean, here it's climate change and how it's being used in the action. So maybe we can move on to we got some input from you all. And I think what I'm getting here is that there is interest in revising the language, but staying true to the intent of what we're trying to accomplish. So do you want to go to the next one so we can kind of look at the key is looking at what does the action say? Because I do think in some of these, it's kind of, especially in the context of climate change, you know, it's kind of like some of them, it feels like a little extra, but some it's central to what the action is.
Yeah. On that note, Martha, this particular action is mainly focused on sea level rise and, you know, living shoreline or other coastal adaptation measures like that. And what I'm hearing from executive committee members is sounds like we should reference sea level rise here, coastal erosion, and make it clear that it's not an exhaustive list of impacts that we're mentioning. Does that sound right?
I agree with that.
Yes, okay. And I appreciate being reeled in from trying to cover too much and just staying specific to this action. So that does work.
Do we want to stay on climate change references or should we go kind of...
The other one? Yeah, so there, I mean, I think I counted in total. There's 5 references of climate change that were struck out. So I think what Luke and Caitlin can do is look at the action and come up with language that still stays true to the intent of the action. And then, you know, maybe we can have an opportunity before it goes out to the governing board to take a look at it with that.
Okay.
And then... I guess I know Luke wants to look at the other one, right?
Yeah. Could I ask one more climate change related question? Can we scroll down to action 36? This action 36 is a little bit more broad about impacts of climate change. So you see it says monitor chemical, physical, and biological characteristics. yeah, if we are not to include that phrase climate change, we'll have to reference a lot of different things, such as sea level rise, harmful algal blooms,
ocean acidification. I mean, hypoxia, right? Yeah. That's where these other.
Yeah, it's actually with regard to ocean acidification, hypoxia. We don't know if that phrasing will be allowed, or we just don't know. Would folks be okay with changes in ocean chemistry, characterizing ocean acidification as changes in ocean chemistry? Or should we say ocean acidification?
And we believe that even the phrase ocean acidification might be a trigger phrase for this new administration?
It may. We just don't know.
This is absurd. Not that we don't all already think that, but.
Yeah, I want to get professorial, right? There's obviously other things that can contribute to ocean acidification other than climate change, excessive nutrient inputs, the formation, persistence of HABs, harmful algal blooms. they certainly are things that we have the ability to develop local adaptation strategies to try to address. Not as easy as a fit, but I'm thinking on it, Jacob, as to how we continue to. If the intention in this case is, hey, here are some of the physical, biological, chemical aspects of the monitoring that we want to continue because they will give us data that informs the health of this environment. And then what can we do with that information to, you know, talk with our dischargers, look at other inputs of nutrients into the system that we could start to try to strategically and systematically limit and control to improve the health of water quality. I suspect that there's a lot of nexus there where those data collected for that purpose would give us some answers as to what's going wrong out there. Don't know if that means that climate change goes out the window, but it's definitely local water quality. It's definitely environmental factors that for any number of our projects and that of so many others that we're interested in understanding what's out there.
So in my review of these actions, there were about four that I thought, oh, we can modify the language. There were a couple that I thought, and this was one of them. Action 36 was one that if you take it out, it kind of, and Action 44 was another one that I thought. I don't know, Karen, if you have any suggestions for us in terms of the state and if there's anything there. Oh, Annalise, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm just also trying to see if this could even be an opportunity to be more specific and clear to the public. I don't like being sort of backed into a corner of having to change language in this way, but you know, if we're talking about changes in ocean chemistry, it does open it up to talk about other things like nutrients that are related and sort of under that umbrella, but not specifically mentioned with that term acidification. And, you know, if we're allowed to get specific with other words, like we can talk about changes in pH.
Or potential of hydrogen, which is what, right, pH stands for.
Or, you know, aragonite saturation point. Get very technical in here.
Yeah, what's the phrase that you suggested, Luke? Is chemical changes in
Changes in ocean chemistry.
Well, is the when Tom threw down a physical, biological, and add chemical, I mean, how much of a big of an umbrella is that? It's kind of plain, simple talk that kind of covers a lot of territory. Just that's kind of I'm kind of plain and simple, Luke. That's how I kind of play. But that seemed to jump out to me as a nice, clean statement. Maybe add to that.
Yeah, no, and I think that chemical, physical, biological part is already in there.
It's in that phrase.
It's already in there, and I think what that's intending us to do is to recognize that there are chemical changes that we want to track. There are biological responses or biological changes that we want to track, and that the actual physical environment itself. You know, if the wind pattern started moving, we would see different responses in how the water is moving, and that could have large impacts on the distribution of plankton or some other species. I think that's what that one's intended to sort of get after already. I think the catch maybe per what Annalisa was sharing was ocean acidification. Left by itself in that if we were monitoring the parameters or we spoke to, we're going to measure the potential of hydrogen or we're going to measure aragonite saturation. That's truly what we're measuring. If there was a climate change-o-meter that I could just carry around like Spock and be like, blah, 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 that would be cool. No such thing exists.
Can I offer actual words? As I'm looking at the action here, I'm thinking of how do we link it up to our long-term results and outcomes. And so what I would offer, and actually I think the action as it stands right now doesn't really make much sense because we monitor to inform strategies and actions that we want to do to address impacts that we identify in our monitoring, right? So I suggest monitor chemical, physical, and biological characteristics in the bay to inform strategies and actions to address impacts observed or however you want to phrase that. So just take out the specific of ocean acidification, because I think that's covered by the chemical and physical and biological characteristics.
Caitlin's going to try and capture what you said, so maybe we can review that. Do you mind repeating some of that again?
Sure. Briefly? Monitor chemical, physical, and biological characteristics in the bay to inform strategies and actions to address impacts observed, or I don't like that last bit. Doesn't feel very articulate to me, but it's what comes to my aging mind at the moment.
No, Karen, I think you're right. So again, I'm just reflecting back on what Erica shared, right? So to identify vulnerabilities and inform adaptation strategies, and then we're falling very much in line. Yeah,
I think I heard earlier the term adaptation is kind of a.
Oh no! Key no, I don't. Too. I don't believe so.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think
the key one in terms of it's in the act. We can refer to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't keep track of what's a good word and a bad word.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm getting juggled around.
Here. And I don't want to take us off point at all. But we are in the midst of our CCMP. Update. And so a number of these questions that we're asking about, how does this make sense? And because this is a living document, it has been long lived, and it has been updated and revised many times. I'm in full agreement. There's some things in there where, trust me, I've been reading it going like, man, I don't know if I wrote that 12 years ago, but boy, I could fix that today. I appreciate it.
And just maybe to address the last bit of that, to make less words out of it, we could say to mitigate impacts. Sure. Would you be open to that? I don't know, that feels like it might flow better, but.
Yeah, I thought it was making sense, and then I kind of lost track. Now I've come back to making more sense here, but I agree with that statement. I'm just, are we in that long-term environmental results and outcomes, are we trying to eliminate the impacts of ocean acidification in that statement? Or are we keeping that and just, because I like this first statement, but when I said that, you said it was somewhere else in here, but I don't see it in that statement. It may be in the work plan, but as far as it being in that statement, I think this works.
Staff would revise long-term environmental results and outcomes to be consistent with the language you see there in red.
Gotcha. Thank you.
We were just making an edit to reflect what Karen was saying, since it was a little more involved of an edit. Staff, oh, sorry, Annalisa.
Yeah, I just maybe want to go back to something that Tom mentioned of, characteristics in the bay to identify vulnerabilities and inform strategies and actions to mitigate impacts, if that's... So characteristics in the bay to identify vulnerabilities and inform strategies. I like that phrasing.
Well, I think we can, we do it, just a couple more things, and then I think staff has direction in terms of making some revisions, and I think we can send it out to the executive committee for review before it goes out to the governing board, so that there's still an opportunity if you see something, and if we need to have another short discussion or something. I mean, this is very important, and I think we need to spend the time to do the best that we can.
Yes, that was extremely helpful. I thank you for the direction that you've given us. I think we can adequately address the remaining references to climate change in the document and send it out to you all.
Can I just ask if there's an opportunity, if for each individual action we're going to be very specific about the climate change impact that we're addressing in that action, if there is space earlier in the document, in the introduction somewhere, where we can talk more generally about what are the things that we are as a group trying to address, and then reference them specifically action by action?
Yes, absolutely. So that is what Erica was recommending with the addition of the legislation. But some text can be added to like make that clear.
Yeah, and Annalisa, if it wasn't clear, that's what I was trying to add on to what Jacob was saying. Like, we're interested in sea level rise, we're interested in coastal erosion, we're interested in nutrient reduction, we're interested in, and just bang, 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 bang.
Yeah, and I would like to add, my understanding is that it's not each of those things in a vacuum, but that they're contributions to an evolving situation. So perhaps we can use that sort of general phrase in the beginning, and then it carries through that because it is a global interest and it is an overall analysis rather than specific, just these temperatures have gone up, but the ramifications. So I don't want to lose, we still have these goals to address things on a larger basis, and I think we should capture that and stay true to that as well. And so as long as our words continue to capture that and that we aren't changing our ultimate goals and our ultimate methods, perhaps evolving can be one of the words.
Okay, we are running a little behind, but we need to take the time on a few more elements of the work plan. So the on the screens in front of you, you should see action 28 highlighted. In the original draft that was sent out in February, this action was struck through. We have highlighted here in this one. And I'll draw your attention to the table on the screen where it says not part of this work plan. So the US EPA has actually instructed us to do this, indicate which actions are not part of the work plan. And if there's an action that is currently not being worked on, this does not get sent to the US EPA. They've asked us not to send this along with the work plan. So
can I interrupt? Sorry, I just want to. So generally, we want the work that's going to happen that during the fiscal year. So that has been the practice since I think we last revised the CCMP. So you generally just general practice is not to include work that's not going to happen. So and it makes it easier that in the final version for everyone to read, just, you know, focusing on the work that is going to happen. But I think it's helpful. I think Caitlin said this yesterday. This is a good reminder. If your entity is doing this, sorry if I'm taking your talking points, Luke. I felt the need to speak. If it's not true that if it's actually going to happen, to, you know, this is a good time to speak up, not at the April meeting, because we want to hear sooner. And every NEP's work plan is structured slightly differently. I will say that as well. This NEP has chosen to kind of include everything from the CCMP, and that's fine, but just as long as the final is the work for that year. Okay, thank you.
So in other words, no edits need to happen to this action. This will not be included in the final draft of the work plan because no members have identified any work related to this action.
So last year, Luke, this wasn't included because we didn't have... Was there something minor that happened?
Yeah, I believe, the current work plan, the fiscal year 25 that we're still operating mm-hmm. under, has this next step that I'm highlighting here regarding the integrated regional water management group and supporting their efforts to invest in disadvantaged and underserved communities. Commission staff were engaged in the IRWIM. We no longer have the staff capacity to engage on that level. Reached out to some members who are still participating but didn't hear about any upcoming work for the next fiscal year. So that's why we aren't proposing to include it this year.
Okay, so the action is still part of our CMP, but for 25-26, we're proposing not to do any work. And that was already in the plan anyway.
Okay. Correct. Right. And Caitlin, can you scroll down to Action 31? So as another example, Action 31 here, this will also not be included in the final draft that goes to the governing board. And same with Action 33, same thing. So you see its table is totally gray, not part of this work plan. So the US EPA has asked us to format things this way. And for the final draft, these do not go to US EPA per their instructions. The last one we need to discuss today is going to be Action 43. And Action 43 pertains to LA County's Safe Clean Water Program. Thank you, Caitlin. So if you look under objectives in the table, there's a reference to disadvantaged communities. That is another phrase that we've been told would result in this work plan being rejected by the US EPA. And these objectives did come from the Safe Clean Water Program. That's where that text originally came from. Staff have identified other texts from the Safe Clean Water Program that could work in its place, but we wanted to hear if there were other thoughts or ideas about the inclusion of this language.
So, Luke, just a quick question. So is this their objective verbatim, or did we take language that they had and then we edited it to put together this what is presented in the table?
It was verbatim from a Safe Clean Water Program document. But this was added. It may have been language from multiple years ago.
And you said they have alternate language that they would suggest you have that language?
Yes. So Caitlin has found other language on their website that we could include here. I'll read it.
I think there's a word missing after two. And this
moment.
Is from the Safe Clean Water Program website, right? That's what you said.
Correct. From the Safe Clean Water Program website. So per their website, their objective for the program is to fund stormwater initiatives that improve water quality, increase our local water supply, and provide community benefits like green spaces and parks.
I also just want to point out that, you know, it is not in our authority to change the Safe Clean Water Program at all, and the Safe Clean Water Program has a priority to provide benefit to disadvantaged communities. So us changing this language does not take away that priority goal within the Safe Clean Water Program, and us participating on that advisory committees also does not alter that. Again, just kind of on the record, it's ridiculous that we have to do this, but I just want to state that, like, regardless of what is in our objective, that that remains a high priority for the program that we are participating in.
That's a great reminder. We are a non-regulatory commission, and the Safe Clean Water Program will stick to their goals and values.
Okay. I think Luke and Caitlin have direction.
I wanted to add, if this is from their website, you know, I'm more inclined, but the language itself, you know, because there is a priority for disadvantage, and we definitely want to support that goal, provide community benefits like green spaces and parks. It'd be nice to include, because the goal is not just to provide them in certain areas, but in areas where there haven't been or need increase. So if there was a way that we could include some language, perhaps as a general adjective before community benefits, to show more inclusivity without... you know, just it's an important goal for us to complete the goals of this safe, clean water. It aligns with our mission as well.
Well, not to revise their intent, but would something like provide community benefits like green spaces and parks where they historically have not? Where communities have not had access to those things or something along those lines be, and again, I don't want to change what their initiative is either. So just a thought.
I concur. I think raising the language or wordsmithing the language so it's more inclusive, maybe not to talk teasing out disadvantaged, but be incorporate that those bypassed communities in the languaging so that it's more inclusive across the board in some way without losing the focus on the fact that they are systemically bypassed even today. I think being more inclusive so that it's a level, you know, we can level the playing field across the board here in some way. But I'll leave that to the master wordsmithers over there.
Okay, thank you. I think we're about how many minutes? We're a little behind, about 20 minutes behind, but I think the next item will be pretty quick, and that's consideration of approval of a resolution regarding the LA County Coastal Resilience Initiative.
Yes, yeah, sorry, give us one moment. Caitlin will introduce this item, and I'd just like to say thank you. I believe we have good direction to go in, and you will hear from me after this meeting regarding the draft of the work plan.
Caitlin. I'm sorry, Luke, could I interject one last possible solution, perhaps including the phrase at the end of that, you know, green spaces to support or in furtherance of the goals of the Safe Clean Water, you know, so that it it does have that safeguard of tying back to the, I don't know if that would trigger, you know, how far down the rabbit hole they're going to go chasing words, but I, you know, continues to hold up our standards as well. Thank you.
Okay, shifting gears, moving to the next item, consideration of approval of a resolution regarding the Los Angeles County Coastal Resilience Initiative. So this is an item proposed for the Governing Board's April meeting. The Coastal Resilience Initiative includes strategies to improve LA County's coastal resilience, such as deploying living shorelines, developing methods for beneficial reuse of sediment and dredge material. LA County Department of Beaches and Harbors is now advancing the initiative by implementing 3 living shoreline pilot projects, developing a sand compatibility and opportunistic use program, and developing the LA County Regional Coastal Strategic Adaptation Plan. Advancing the initiative is aligned with our action plan, several actions, including action 6, 24, 25, and 28. To restore healthy beaches, support natural means of coastal resilience, support best management practices for beaches, and efforts of disproportionately burdened communities to achieve healthy habitats. At the December Governing Board meeting, our Governing Board alternate Warren Ontiveros of LA County Department of Beaches and Harbors presented on the initiative and introduced a draft resolution regarding support for the initiative. We sent out a staff report and that draft resolution to EC members in advance of the meeting, and it's also on our website. And for this meeting, we're requesting members to discuss that draft. And, you know, if you have any proposed revisions that we can include in the package we send to the Governing Board members before the April meeting, that would be great. We also provided a few printed copies that were on the front. So if you need that to reference, I'll also be sharing my screen.
All right. Does anyone have any questions, comments, revisions?
There will be opportunity at the April meeting to also provide input or changes.
We'll ask Warren or Aaron, probably Warren, right, to do like a little background again. I know he did his presentation in December, but December feels like such a long time ago. But
yeah, I just might say I think there's be a couple things in that conversation that would be beneficial. I'm just trying to figure out how to quantify huge surf. A couple things like that. I understand it's a resolution and. Therefore, it's subject to interpretation as well, but looking forward to it.
All right, any other thoughts? Otherwise, is this one where we need a motion or something for concurrence to move it forward for the Governing Board?
We have a couple more items to discuss for consideration of the April Governing Board meeting agenda.
Okay.
But if there's no other comments or questions on this, we can move to the next one.
Okay, awesome, okay. All right, are we ready to move on? Okay. All right, let's see.
Do you need a moment?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, as Luke mentioned, you'll have definitely ample opportunity to provide comment at the April meeting. And if you also have comments in advance, we welcome those by email as well. Mm-hmm. In our follow-up email, we can send like a Word version of this resolution. So if you have like red line or comments you want to attach, you can do that. Okay.
Okay, so the next item for the Governing Board agenda was a presentation of the fiscal year 2025 annual report.
Yeah, so it's actually the fiscal year 2024 annual report.
Oh, sorry.
Apologies. Okay. I wrote it wrong in the agenda. So we will correct that for the Governing Board meeting.
Okay.
But this presentation was originally scheduled for the April Governing Board meeting, but it was postponed because we didn't have time to get to that. So this presentation is a joint presentation from Commission staff and the Bay Foundation staff to highlight the NEP's accomplishments from the last fiscal year, so October 2023 to September 2024. And we've been doing these presentations since 2020, following the completion of the annual report to USEPA. So we'll give a brief presentation highlighting efforts of our partners, commission staff, the Bay Foundation staff, in implementing the CCMP goals and actions. And we also have that annual report that was approved by EPA on the commission's website and the NEP's website, I believe, as well. Is there any questions? I think we can move to the next item.
All right. And the next item was an information item that we proposed for the governing board, right, Luke? So you want to introduce?
Yes. So this is a proposed informational item for the April meeting centered around the Los Angeles County wildfires. And I'll also note we're almost back on track with time. So the January 2025 wildfires were among the most destructive and tragic natural disasters in LA County's history, the impacts of which will be felt for years to come. Members of this commission have been working diligently for months to assess and minimize the toll the wildfires have had on LA County's communities and ecosystems. And while there is an immense amount of work yet to be done, it is important to take the time to have members share what they have done and what they have learned in the time since the fires. So sharing such information would help inform commission members as well as the public, and it would also be an opportunity to discuss collaboration or provide feedback to one another on response efforts. Therefore, staff recommend inviting Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission members or affiliated organizations to provide information and updates about their wildfire response efforts at the April Governing Board meeting. If folks have suggestions for updates that they would like to hear, or if they themselves have updates to give, we would welcome that. I do have a few ideas listed out to help with this brainstorm. So I've already reached out to Water Board's Division of Drinking Water, who has been working on drinking water quality in the area in the burn zones. We also are aware of the Regional Board conducting some monitoring in conjunction with SCWRP. But do any other folks wish to provide feedback? Maybe electeds? Yeah, Jacob.
Yeah, I think that, you know, obviously there's just so much that has happened in relation to the fires. I think that Cal OES would be great to have. I know they don't sit on this commission, but they had a task force focused on watershed protection immediately following the fires. So I think if someone from them could be here to present or at least provide a report that could be read on the work they've done and the impact that that's had on the watershed in the Bay, that'd be incredible. And likewise, especially post-fire, you know, the mitigation of the hazards on site, things that are burned, trying to minimize the, you know, hazardous waste getting in the Bay, either trying to see if there's any information that we can get from EPA on their efforts, Army Corps of Engineers, or just LA Sanitation and Public Works on our shoring up efforts on trying to limit the debris flow entering the waterways.
And Elisa, I know you guys are doing stuff too, right?
Yeah, Heal the Bay did conduct our own individual sampling in January, and I would be happy to present on that. I was actually going to give a quick summary during the board member reports. I can give it now if that would be appropriate. Should I wait for that?
Sure, let's go for it. We caught up on time.
Excellent. But yeah, I'd be more than happy to do a fuller presentation at the next governing board meeting. But essentially, we conducted testing before and after the first flush rain that happened in January, and we did collect samples north of the burn zone at Surf Rider Beach and Paradise Cove, as well as further south at Malaga Cove to provide some control site conditions to compare to. And we're definitely seeing concerning levels of heavy metals for marine health. Probably about a dozen are exceeding average levels that can cause long-term harm to marine life, and maybe five or six that are exceeding maximum levels, which can cause more immediate impacts to marine health. On the human health side, of course, it is a much more complicated discussion. Most limits that exist for human health are drinking water standards, and we are not drinking ocean water right now, but there are a few things that are identified within the California Ocean Plan for human health standards. And two of the things that we tested for do have limits in the ocean plan, and it includes PAHs and beryllium. And for both of those, we are exceeding the human health limits within the ocean plan. So while, you know, that's just those two on our long list of like 120 things that we tested for that are exhibiting some concerns for human health, that is enough for us at Heal the Bay to continue to urge caution at the beach. Right now, our recommendations are to stay away from the beach within the burn zone, so Las Flores Canyon to Santa Monica Beach at, I think it's Montana Avenue. And then south of that, continuing to urge folks to stay out of the water, as we're seeing some contamination as far south as Dockweiler, and also to be careful if you're at the beach, continuing to wear, you know, closed-toed shoes, watching small children and animals, you know, not digging through sand. We have seen wood with nails. Beaches and harbors in their cleanup have also seen glass and other dangerous things within the sand. So, yeah, just continuing to urge caution for those who do go to the beach south of the burn zone.
Annalisa, real quick, did you say PAHs and beryllium?
Yeah.
And were those... are those exceedances localized within that burn zone and further south, or did you also see them north of west of Surf Rider, or at Surf Rider and then at Paradise Cove? Just quickly.
We did see some PAHs up at Paradise Cove. Unfortunately, the day that we sampled, there was also a small fire just north of that area, so it's a little bit hard to differentiate that, although the levels down at Malaga Cove were very low, so that is our best control site. And beryllium we saw at multiple locations.
Thank you.
Yeah, just a question. What's the date, the completion date of those, that sampling, and will there be more sampling before the next meeting that you can refer to?
Heal the Bay was only able to conduct one round of sampling, so we went out on January 24th and 25th before the rain, and again January 28th after the rain. However, we do have access. The Regional Board and Department of Public Health have posted their results on the Regional Board's website. So that's not our data, but it is publicly accessible data that we will be looking at. And the most recent that has been posted was from February 18th.
Do you think they're going to hit it again between now and April? February 18th, that's a month, over a month ago.
I do believe so. The February 18th was at least after the major rain that we had in early February, so that will provide really good information. To be clear, and thank you for bringing this up, our data is from late January and does not represent current conditions in the Bay. It really just gives us a baseline idea of the overall impacts of wildfire on the ecosystem.
That initial hit, yeah. Okay, yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, and the RCD, we can put together a presentation for the April meeting as well. We've been conducting a lot of monitoring in the Topanga Creek area, both sort of the oak woodland habitats and the creek is quite filled with mud, but, you know, I believe they've been able to do some testing here and there and assessments. I do think that we can provide updates on the relocated fish. So far, at least for now, the steelhead have went initially to the Fillmore hatchery and then have been transferred to a wild habitat. So they are hopefully doing quite well there. And the tidewater goby are both at both aquariums, the Gila Bay Aquarium and the Aquarium of the Pacific. At least at the Aquarium of the Pacific, they've been doing well, getting quite large with their buffet of food that's so easily accessible. And we're seeing a little bit of fungal infection. So we're hoping to, I think the aquarium's on that and trying to treat some of those older fish that are showing those signs that we, you know, had concerns that might happen. There's continued assessment of the burn areas and the tree plantings that we have done, as well as other damage to trees, both from fire and bulldozing. And then we have seen, like you said, wood with nails. We've also seen big chunks of metal, things like that in the creek and on the beach. And but yes, we can find put together a report on our conditions and what we've been seeing too. Thank you.
Great, thank you. So Luke, I think definitely we have an item of interest for the governing board, and yeah, please work and put together your magic so we can have a presentation.
Will do. I will reach out to each of the entities mentioned.
All right. So
can I guess now ask a question? Oh.
Sure. Sure, Erica.
Oh, this is Erica. Hi, sorry. Yeah. Thank you everyone for sharing. I am wondering if there's a lot of information. Do we also have, like, can we, I don't want to short anyone time, and I'm just also thinking of, like, at the June, I don't know, the May EC or the June, having the possibility of breaking it up into two sessions or multiple sessions to give folks enough time to share their report out. So just for your consideration, I don't want to, okay, everybody has 2 minutes. I'd like to just give people the time they need.
That's a good suggestion. And I think that's something that Luke can kind of consider based on what he's getting and then kind of determine, you know, because I know Jacob was interested in hearing from Army Corps or OES. So maybe let's kind of think about, yeah, we have a lot of stuff in the April agenda, but this is definitely an important information item that we need to make time for. All right, so I guess now we've gone through the items for April agenda. So now I guess we...
We need a motion.
We need a motion. These are the items that we've just gone over are the ones that will be included in the April governing board meeting. Is there a motion?
I'll move, yeah.
Okay, second?
I'll second that.
Okay, Caitlin, let's do roll call vote.
Okay, just sharing the roster. I'll call voting members in alphabetical order by last name. Could we show the roster on the screen, please? Oh, thanks. Sorry. Jacob Berman?
Yes.
Tracy Lovrick?
Yes.
Annalisa Moe?
Yes.
Karen Mogus?
Yes.
Michael Quill?
Yes.
And Martha Tremblay?
Yes.
Okay, the governing board agenda is approved. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Caitlin. Okay, so next item is our discussion on the CCMP update. Luke?
Thank you, Chair. And first of all, I appreciate all of the effort everybody has put into today's meeting. I know we've had some difficult discussions. One more discussion to have, actually one more decision that needs to be made. Hopefully this will won't take up too much brain capacity. I'm going to share my screen. This is to continue our discussion on the CCMP update. So far we have, regarding the CCMP update, which is required to happen periodically, according to the US EPA. So far with these discussions, we have discussed the need to edit actions in the CCMP for accuracy, the need to consider member and public input for actions and next steps, which relates to today's discussion, We've also identified the need to identify priorities and improve equity in the CCMP update, and we have discussed a tentative timeline for this update. So I'll briefly go over timeline before moving on, just to refresh everybody. This is a slide that was shared by Tom at the last meeting.
It was on a larger screen at that point.
I will walk everybody through it to make it easy for you. So if you look in the second column from the left, that has the dates. I want you to focus your attention on that column and the one to the right of it. So today we are, it's March 20th, and we are in this process of getting CCMP input, getting recommendations, suggestions from executive committee members, from the public. We are in this process, and we will be in this process until towards the end of summer. You can see there. And also over the summer, that's when the Bay Foundation and staff will begin working on a draft of the CCMP and more specifically a restructuring or reformatting of the CCMP. So right now we're just collecting input and feedback, and in a few months there will hopefully be some more decisions to be made, some more to share from us and the Bay Foundation. Any questions here before I move on to our question?
I'm sorry, can I ask, when it says policy committee, who is the policy committee and then management committee? I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Yeah, these are the technical terms. The management committee is the executive committee. Policy committee is the governing board. Sorry, that was NEP jargon. Is that right?
That is absolutely NEP jargon. Gotcha. And we will make those corrections so that we don't have to put the translator out there for everybody. Thank you.
So the discussion I wanted to have with you all today is regarding public comments we have received. So while we are going through this process of collecting input, we need to make sure that we are addressing the relevant public comments that we have received on the CCMP. So staff have received roughly 300 public comments from 2022 to 2025. This time frame might seem a bit arbitrary, but these are public comments we've received during our work plan processes. And prior to 2022, we did a formal response to comments. So comments on the work plan prior to 2022 have all been addressed. However, from 2022 to present, there are a lot of comments that have not undergone a formal response to comments, and therefore we need to consider them. So these 300 comments came from the work plan process. That includes comments on the draft work plan, as well as comments from community members at those workshops that I mentioned earlier. So we have always told members of the public that if their comments do not fall within the scope of the annual work plan, we would consider their comments during the next CCMP update. So now it is time to do that. So staff have conducted a preliminary analysis of these comments. We still have a little bit more sifting to do, which is why I have approximations here. We've done a preliminary analysis, and we have determined that the vast majority of comments received are relevant for a CCMP update. So that means fully addressing these 275 comments would require some modification of an existing action or next step, or the addition of an action or next step. So I'll pause here. Does this make sense? What I've just gone through, everybody's clear on what these comments are, where they came from. Okay. So about 275 are relevant for a CCMP update. I'll give you some examples, actually. I have some examples written here. So if somebody proposed to have a to create a seal rookery on Will Rogers Beach, that might fit within a couple of our actions that we currently have. It wouldn't be the creation of a whole new action. However, if somebody proposed a floating solar farm in Santa Monica Bay, that would be a whole new action. There's nothing in this current CCMP that alludes to energy generation. So those are some examples for you. What staff needs your help with is deciding what our process should be for identifying these comments that should be considered in the CCMP update. You know, what is a potential modification that we can make? All I need your help with is identifying a process for sifting through these comments. So option A is you all can look at these comments. There's 275. I will say that the caveat to that is we have not condensed that list at all. Many of them are probably similar or somewhat similar comments. So we haven't done that yet, but there are a lot of comments. So the executive committee is welcome to look at them and decide which ones they like. I could distribute it as a survey or something similar. The other option is you all can provide staff with some criteria, some sort of criteria that we can then use to look through the list of comments and pull out things that you think could be a potential addition to the CCMP. And perhaps there's a third option that I am not thinking of. So any ideas? I have suggestions for criteria if you want to hear them, but Tom.
Well, now you said that you had ideas for criteria, so now I wish to hear that. But I think what I was going to submit prior to hearing that, Luke, is, you know, starting to, you know, bifurcate or assemble these comments as they may group up according to our existing plan. And then those that have no home in the existing plan, like the solar farm example that you provided. And then I think that's a first step in trying to approach this and aggregate what we've heard from the folks over the years. After that, we could say, hey, these are the additional pieces that folks would like to see us add. I think it may also be interesting that, hey, over the past X number of years, nobody's brought up action number two. So why is that still a priority, even, you know, for the NEP or the folks around the table, even if the public have not identified it as such? So those are just some of the initial thoughts that I have on the matter.
Yeah, I agree with Tom. I think with the goal of capturing what the commenters wanted us to see, it's probably more efficient to start from the comments, segregate them into different groups, and then collate them from there so that we don't miss something, you know, by us designating what we think would be the categories.
And I've been to a few LA County supervisor meetings, and I love the way they do this. When somebody gets up and gives a comment, and there's a hundred of people in the audience, and I like it, they all applaud to show their symbol of support. So, you know, if there is, hey, there's 45 comments that came in under this, right? I guess what I'm asking this group to also opine on is, you know, is there a synthesis saying, hey, 45 folks came in, said they'd like to see X happen as a priority for the plan moving forward. And not only are we just identifying it was there, but there was that number of suggestions.
Okay, so it sounds like what would be helpful for you all to see is a list of these comments or recommendations ordered by the number of comments associated with them, you know.
I think if you can group them like similar and then number, right, so that we get an idea, you know, where the spread is, that would be helpful. And then some of those that don't have a home, I mean, I would be interested in kind of seeing you categorize too. And, you know, maybe they can't come live with us, or maybe we can add them to the plan, right? We can give it a home if it's like a new activity, that new action that we should include.
Yeah, and on that, I think when you're grouping them, if we hear that there's like 50, to use your seal rookery example, maybe there's 35 that just suggest a sea rookery would be great, and there's 10 that say a sea rookery plus a, you know, pathway with signage, you know. So I think adding, you know, that there's some different elements that are introduced as well, instead of just like general category C rookery.
Okay, so it sounds like you all would like to see, you know, a pretty comprehensive list of these comments, but categorized based on criteria. It sounds like a public access might be a criteria to use if public access is referenced. Other examples of criteria I thought might be helpful, indicating if there's currently somebody working on something, you know, maybe something that's not in our CCMP, but there is some entity in LA County working on it. That's a recommendation. Yeah. Any other thoughts?
I agree with what you just said, Lou, the T.
Yeah, I feel like first I'm more than happy to collaborate with you and help work through this to help us capture all this. Tracy and I appreciate the logic that you're applying, but now I'm imagining I'm splitting, and now I've got, you know, quaternary levels of agreement yet division. And is it? I don't want to reduce it down to like, you know. So, like how many comments did we receive regarding public access? You know, how many did we pull in here? Because I think the numbers can be indicative of general support. But you know, there's also some great ideas that might just be coming in from, you know, one spot, and I'm trying to sort that out as well. So I think usually when I get started on something like this, I'm like, yeah, I'd like to check in early and often, because initially that sounded like a great way to go. But oh boy, now we've got a lot of spaghetti wrapped around the fork here, and I'm not sure that we're gaining clarity. It's just getting messier. And I think that's the caution in this.
I agree, but I also feel that I have faith in Luke to filter through that stuff and kind of make those judgments, check it off.
And then at the same time, you know, the numbers are going to be helpful for us to see what the interest is, but that doesn't mean that we won't miss that one comment that might stand out because it's so distinct, even if it is only just one. Like, we're still going to get the list afterwards and have our opportunity to review it.
So preserve the list, make a copy of the list, and then start putting it through the sorter.
Yeah.
Luke, I think you've got direction, right?
Yes, I think I have enough direction. it is a lot of comments to sift through. I will do my best to have something for May, but I cannot promise that. But we'll work with Tom and the Bay Foundation in the meantime. Thank you.
Okay, so next item is member comments and announcements regarding matters not on the agenda. Anyone have anything else to add? All right.
I just wanted to say congratulations on your first executive committee as chair.
Yay, Martha.
Great job.
Oh, look at here. We're at 2:52. So thank you very much for hanging in there. Thank you very much for the direction that you've been able to give Luke. So with that, the next governing board meeting is April 17th at 9:30 at Delray Yacht Club. And then our next executive committee meeting will be on May 15 at 10 a.m. at the Delray Yacht Club. And I believe there's no closed session, right, Eric? We're good?
That's correct. No closed session.
No closed session. So with that, we can adjourn today's meeting at 2:53. Great. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.